Everybody's life mission is unique. What God has called you to do, what he put you on earth to do, is like no one else's. And only you can fulfill your mission. The moment you step across the line and give your life to Jesus Christ, the moment you become a believer, God has an assignment for you. It's called your life mission. Your life mission. Many of the parts of your life mission are unique. But there's one part of your life mission that we all have in common, and it's this. God wants you to tell other people what has happened to you, what he has done for you. It's to share your testimony, your witness, the good news about what Christ has done for you. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24 says, the most important thing that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. Once I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, a major part of my life mission is that I invite other people into God's family as well. Jesus said in John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. What has he sent us to do? Well, the Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in every part of the world. Dear Father, as we look to your word, as we consider what mission that you have given every one of us, that you will help us to understand it more fully and to depend on you to enable us to fulfill that mission. Thank you, dear Father, for your Spirit who does that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, it says, you will be my witnesses. This is a recap of what we looked at last week. You will be my witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? A witness is someone who shares a personal experience. I saw this, I heard that. Witnessing is simply sharing what God is doing in my life, what he has done for me. You are the authority on your life. And I am to share with others what God has done in my life and what's happened to me since I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He's brought me forgiveness for my sins. And that's witnessing, telling people what's happened. So where do I do it? Well, last week we looked at the four places that he mentioned. First of all, there's Jerusalem. When the disciples were hearing these words from Jesus, where were they? They were in Jerusalem. That was their home. And witnessing is simply sharing where you are at, where your home is. Here's the point. Start where you are. Start where you are. Your Jerusalem is your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, your fellow students. That is your Jerusalem. You start with the people who are closest to you. You start where you are. And it says Judea. Judea was kind of like the county. Our Judea is Waupaca County. Or if you live in Portage County or Washera County, I know there are some people from there. But wherever the general area that you are in. The third group was people of a different culture. Samaria. The Samaritans were culturally and ethnically different from the disciples. They were of a different culture, a different language, a different ethnic group. Do you know anyone who comes from a different culture than you? Maybe somebody who speaks a first language that's different than you do. They can speak English, but they have a first language, a heart language. It's different. You don't have to go very far in the day in which we live to go to a Samaria. Then it says to every part of the world. Every part of the world. Now, one of the things that we have in this day in which we live is we have the opportunity to go on short-term mission trips. And many of you have done that. Just about anyone can go on a short-term missions trip. With the internet, you can go around the world from your home and you can share your faith through the internet with people. So what's my mission? It's to invite other people into God's family. So what is it I'm to share? Well, my message in two words is good news. Good news. That's what the word gospel really means. It means good news. Mark 16:15 says, proclaim the good news to everyone, everywhere. Many Christians think the people that I work with, my friends, my neighbors, they're not really interested in the good news. Christians who think that way are very wrong. Others are not interested in religion, but they are interested in good news. We have forgotten how good the good news is. What happens is the longer you're a Christian, the longer you tend to take for granted how good the good news really is. Most people think it's really hard to get to know God, but the good news is it is not. In fact, that's a stumbling block to many people. The good news is you get right with God, not through rules, not through regulations, not through rituals, not through religion, but through a relationship, a personal relationship that's based simply on trusting, believing, having faith about what the Bible says about Jesus is true. Romans 1:17 tells us the good news shows how God makes people right with himself, that it begins and ends with faith. As the scripture says, those who are right with God will live by trusting him. Not by being perfect, not by never sinning, not by keeping rituals, but by trusting Jesus. That is good news. When you trust Jesus Christ with your life, three wonderful things happen to you. He takes care of your past, he takes care of your present, and he takes care of your future. Forgiveness for my past. Nobody's perfect. Everyone has blown it. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone has things in their life that they wish they had never done or thought or said. When God comes along and says, when you trust Jesus Christ with your life, I take everything you've ever done and I wipe the slate clean. And you start over with a brand new life. Forgiveness from my past, is that not good news? He gives me, secondly, a purpose for living in the present. You're not an accident, but you will never know God's purpose for your life until first you get to know God personally. When you get to know God, you will discover who you are and why God made you. He made you for a purpose. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came so that you might have life and have it to the fullest. He didn't say, I've come to give you religion. He said, I've come so that you might really live. Why is that? Because you're not really living until you know Jesus. He has a mission, a purpose for you. And then see heaven in my future. A home in heaven. Most people in their mind think that the way you get to heaven is by being good enough. We're never going to get to heaven by being good enough. We're never going to get there on our own efforts, because none of them can possibly be good enough. There's only one way you can get into heaven, and that's on someone else's ticket. And since none of us are perfect, God came to earth in human form, and that was Jesus Christ, who lived a life of perfection. He died on the cross and paid for our sin. He rose from the dead, defeating sin and death, and then went back to heaven. And now you can get to heaven on his ticket. You just simply need to trust him. Romans 6:23 assures us, God's free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. That means you can't earn it or work for it. You can't merit it in any way. It's a free gift. Think about these three things. God says you get to know him just by trusting. And he says, if you trust my son with your life, you get forgiveness for your past. You get a purpose for living in the present and a home in heaven in the future. Is that not good news? For sure it is. Do you think anyone you know would be even slightly interested in that? So my mission, first of all, is to witness. My message is the good news. So why should I share? Why should I care to tell people around me how to get to heaven? Well, my motive is love. My motive is love. The motive for your mission is love. Love for Jesus and love for other people. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us." That means it motivates us. You see, everyone matters to God. God never made a purpose he didn't love. When you express love for people, it builds a bridge. It opens a door for you to be able to share the good news. You change people by love, one life at a time. That's the only way that we will see society be changed. One life at a time, through the love of God. We love the people. God has put people in your life that he specifically wants you to share the good news with. You may be the only true Christ follower some people ever know. If you don't share your story and the good news with them, who will? You may be the only person. God wants you to share his good news with the people he's put in your life to tell them the good news. Family, friends, relatives, your contacts, your neighbors, the people you work with, people you just run into in the store. You say, I'm kind of afraid of doing that. 2 Timothy 1, verses 7 and 8 in the Living Bible paraphrase says, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. If you will stir up this inner power, you will never be afraid to tell others about our Lord. What is the antidote to fear? It's love. The antidote to fear is love. We don't share the good news because we don't love people enough. If we loved them, we'd want to share the good news with them. When you love your family, your friends, your members, your neighbors, your teammates who don't know Christ, When you finally love them enough, you'll have the courage to share with them the good news about Jesus Christ. You're telling them the greatest news in the world: forgiveness for their past, purpose in the present, and a home in heaven in the future. They'll get that nowhere else than in Jesus Christ. So I challenge you to get serious about sharing the good news with the people God has put in your life. And let me ask you this question: will anyone be in heaven because of your witness? So how do I do it? How do I fulfill my mission? My method is to show it and share it. My method is to show it and share it. Remember show and tell when you were in school? Maybe some of you children today have gone through a time of show and tell in your class. He wants you to make it visual with your life and to make it verbal with your mouth. Show and tell. Visual with your life and verbal with your mouth. God is looking for audio-visual Christians. Walk the talk and talk the walk. Demonstrate it and communicate it. That's what God wants you to do. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. You need to be an example of God's love first. You need to live in a way that demonstrates God's love. And you've heard the old saying, but it's so true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You demonstrate love. You let it be a part of your witness. Now, many of you who've been in on a court case, maybe you've served on a jury or you've just watched a case on television, you know the number one tool of the defense is to discredit the witnesses. If doubt can be cast on the credibility of a witness, then the case might be dismissed. For example, if the eyewitness is a drug addict or he's known to be a liar and has the same problem himself, his believability is called into question. And we've seen this over and over again on these cases that are on television. Be sure that Satan is trying to do that to you. He wants to discredit your life so other people will say, if that's a Christian, forget it. You could actually keep people from considering Christ by the way that you live. We are being watched. You're being watched by your boss, by your neighbors, by your employees, by your children, your relatives who don't know Jesus Christ. How you live may be influencing whether they'll someday consider Jesus Christ or not. That's an awesome responsibility. Please understand how high the stakes really are. Every conversation you have, every action you take, every word you speak could have eternal implications for someone else. I shudder to think that one day someone might use my life as an excuse for saying no to Jesus. I've seen how Mark acts. If that's a Christian, forget it. We're talking about more than just life and death here. This has eternal implications. You will influence all kinds of people around you by your lifestyle, by what you do and say and value. We need to show God's love and live in such a way that it brings honor and credibility to Jesus Christ's name. But not only that, I need to tell other people about it. I need to tell the good news verbally. I not only need to live it, I need to tell it. I need to tell others about it. Tell the good news verbally. Colossians 4:5 says, make the most of your chances to tell others the good news. You see, it's not just enough to live it. You have to tell it. Some people say, I don't need to tell people. I just live it in front of others. My witness is my life. Do you realize what an ego trip that is? Even Jesus had to tell people how to be saved. And he was perfect. You would think that people could just watch Jesus and the way he lived his life and they would want to follow him. No, he had to tell them. And he did. My witness is my life? Well, that's the start. It has to start there. That means you just walk in the room and people see you and repent and accept Christ? I doubt it. It's crucial that your walk matches your talk, but you've got to tell them. Be an audiovisual Christian. Your mission is the same regardless of where you are in the world. Your mission is to invite people into God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. To do that, you need to know who to go to, where to get help, and what to say. How many of you were influenced by someone else to come to Jesus Christ? They invited you and they told you about him. Every one of us. You're going to heaven because somebody cared enough to tell you about Jesus Christ. Who have you cared enough to tell? Who are you taking to heaven with you? If you have some vague idea in your mind, it's never going to happen. You need to get specific. And I encourage you right now, take your sheet of paper and write down three people that you want to take to heaven with you. They may be friends or family or co-workers. They're people you care about, people you can invite to church or share the good news with. Keep this list in your wallet or in your purse. And pray, God, give me an opportunity to talk with them about you. Eternity is in balance here. You can sit on the sidelines and do nothing, or you can get involved. Now, some of us have been procrastinating to tell a certain someone about Jesus Christ for months, maybe even years, and you still haven't done it. How much longer do you think you're going to have the opportunity to do so? Care enough to write down some names and start praying for them. And then as God gives you the opportunity, share the good news with them. You so say, I don't know what to say. There are so many helpful tools that are out there that are available to us. Billy Graham's Steps to Peace with God is one of my favorites. Or there's the Four Spiritual Laws that's been around for decades. Or the bridge that's put out by the Navigators, or many other ways to organize the gospel message, the good news from the Bible in an easily understood way. I'm going to go through one in just a moment, how to establish a spiritual base for my life. I like these because they're non-threatening. It's not like walking into a room with a 20-pound Bible. You just keep one of these pamphlets in your pocket, and I was going to bring one with me this morning. It's on my desk. But there are these pamphlets all over the place. And at the proper time, when something comes up, you can say, have you ever wondered what it means to know God personally? Or have you ever heard the steps to peace with God? Or have you ever established a spiritual base for your life? Someone gave this to me and it made a lot of sense. Do you see it? This is what you do. You hold it out, you read it together. I was first trained how to use the four spiritual laws as a student. And they trained me just to say, have you ever heard of the four spiritual laws? And they say, no, I haven't. So you just open it up and you start reading it. It's simple. You didn't need to know a whole lot. But this is what you do. Hold it out. Four things you have to do in order to step across the line. This is probably review for many of you, but for some of you, the next 2 minutes are going to be the most important 2 minutes in your life. It may determine your eternal future. Listen as if your life depends on it, because if you've never taken these steps, it does. This explains the only possible way to get into heaven according to the Bible. So how do I establish a spiritual base? You say, I'd love to have my past forgiven. I'd love to have a purpose for living. I'd love to have a home in heaven. So how do I get it? Four things. First of all, spiritual base, B-A-S-E. First of all is the B, believe. I must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and showed he was God by coming back to life. Do you believe that? And if they say yes, say, you're one quarter of the way there. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. B, believe. A is accept. Accept. I need to accept God's free gift of forgiveness for my sin. Would you like to accept that? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. John 1:12. Why would anyone reject that? With this, you're halfway there. The S stands for switch. Switch to God's plan for my life. And Christ is speaking when he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. That means I'm saying I'm no longer going to do just what I want to do. I'm going to live the plan God has made me for. I want to know God's purpose for my life. From now on, Christ is calling the shots in my life, not me. Becoming a Christian is like putting up a sign in your life that says, under new management. Now I'm beginning God's plan for my life. My plan hasn't worked out too well. And if you're willing to do that, you're three quarters of the way there. The final is E, express. Express my desire for Christ to be the director of my life, to be my boss. The word in the Bible is Lord. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to express that? If you're willing to take these four steps, then I encourage you to pray this very simple prayer. If you have never invited Jesus Christ to come into your life by faith, he will come into your heart if you ask him. This prayer is something like this. Dear God, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for my sins so I could be forgiven. I'm sorry for my sins, and I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. Please put your Spirit into my life to direct me. Amen. Then you ask, did you pray that prayer? If you pray that prayer and sincerely meant it in your heart, you just stepped across the line. That is what it takes to put your trust in Jesus Christ. You just did that verbally. You may not understand it all. It's kind of like a baby born into a family that doesn't understand everything. The purpose of a church family is to help you grow spiritually and to grow in your understanding. And you just became a part of the family of God. For those of you who already did that, was that hard? Do you think you could share that with someone else? You could just read through something like Steps to Peace with God or the Four Spiritual Laws or any of those pamphlets that are available to people. I know of friends leading other friends to Christ, parents leading children to Christ, even children leading their parents to Christ, or coworkers or neighbors. It's not that hard. God wants to use you. The last verse on your outline is Psalm 67:2. It says, send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. Dear Father, I pray for any here who have prayed a prayer of salvation this morning, who have asked Jesus Christ into your life, or who are watching on the live stream, that Lord, you would confirm in their hearts right now that what they have prayed is real and true and that they are now yours. Their sins are forgiven. They have a purpose in life. And that, dear Father, you want to use them. Thank you for what you have done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.